Welcome to Changing the Course, Building an Anti-Racist Education. My name is Nicholas Jones, Assistant Director of Student Support and Culture here at Noble Schools. In today's episode, we speak to George Beacham and Noma Gutierrez about the Black boy experience here at Noble and the work that we're doing to continue to improve that experience. Let's jump in. Today's episode, we're here with Norma and George. But before we jump into the episode and talk about our content, Norma and George, we'd love for you to introduce yourself to our audience. So Norma, could you please introduce yourself, your current role, and talk a little bit about your educator journey?
Norma Gutierrez, and I am the Assistant Director of Student Experience. My educator journey started about 20 years ago. I started at Noble, the original campus, teaching algebra to ninth graders for 10 years. Left Noble for a little bit and was in education in other spaces. Came back to Noble at Mansueto as Dean of Students and then transitioned to NST.
And George, welcome.
Thank you for having me. But like Norma, started off ninth grade as well. Teach ninth grade biology at Chicago Bulls College Prep. Fairly recent, recently started teaching, so I'm pretty new. I'm in year two right now. Still got a lot of energy and very excited, about the opportunity.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so before we jump into our conversation, we want to make sure that we're doing a check on your wellness. And so if you could, on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being like I'm great right now, 1, my energy's low, looking forward to having a break soon. Where are you landing on your check-in?
I think I'm a 4. Looking forward to the break, but energized by being able to be here today with y'all.
I'll say 5. Wrapping up a lot of things for semester. So finishing up a semester of grad school. Just came off a great win, coach basketball as well. Finals for the students next week, so I'm on a high right now. Feel pretty good about the first semester so far.
Absolutely. And I'll check in myself. I'm sitting at a 4 as well. It's always a great opportunity to sit and talk to our experts here at Noble and our educators here who's working so hard to support our students and our families within our organization and within our city. So thank you all for being here today and joining this conversation here on Changing the Course. And so we're here today again to talk through our student experience that our students have had and kind of talk through how we've arrived in this place this school year. We've been able to do some really cool programming specifically for our Black boys. Mm-hmm. And so Norma, you're currently our lead in that work as the manager of assistant director of student experience. So could you talk about a little bit about how this work got started and how it's been going so far this school year?
Yeah, our work only started before I got here. And I think actually both you and George can speak more to what that was like with the Black Scholars Working Group. It is because of the work that the Black Scholars Working Group did that actually my role came to be as Assistant Director of Student Experience. And so this was back in 2020 when I was still at a campus. And when I transitioned into NST, the focus was student experience and specifically our Black boys. And that was, again, the work that came out of the Black Scholars Working Group. And so I started first with the Black Boys Collaborative, which was a group of people across our network that came together to talk about the experience of our Black boys and the experiences that and programming we wanted to create for them. And so that journey has now been coming sort of full circle in that recently we've been able to bring forth the programming into campuses, starting with Black Boy Joy, which happened at the beginning of the school year, going into Black Excellence, which was specifically for our staff, and then upcoming Black Boys Heal, which we're really excited about.
Mm-hmm. And George, you happen to be a part of that Black Scholar Experience Working Group that got put together in 2020 to address the student experience for our Black boys and to put into some recommendations some things that group felt like would enhance the experience of our Black boys. Can you talk about your experience on that working group, how you got involved in it, and how it was being a part of that group that you now, as a teacher, are in the school and seeing it kind of come to fruition?
Yeah, so I got involved. I always maintained good relationships with a lot of my teachers at Noble during my time there. And I had recently graduated. I was already working at the time for the CDC. I was working in public health. And I actually got a call from my old basketball coach that basically told me, you know, he was going to be a part of this work group. It's an opportunity. Referred to you. And then we met, and it kind of was just, it was up from there. Mm-hmm. Really was excited just to share my experience, being that, you know, I know the benefits of Noble, what it did for me and trying to make a difference or make it better for, you know, the Black boys who were to come after me so that they could achieve, you know, similar success that I had.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so being on the working group, you were the one alum that was on the working group, but we had voices from alum throughout the program. And so we were able to go through and get alum who submitted videos mm-hmm. to talk about their experience. We were able to even talk to current students about their experience and use our student experience survey and data to also inform our decisions. But you being present, man, was really powerful for us and helped us really form some of the recommendations that came forth through the Black Scholar Experience Working Group, as well as leading to Norma's position that allow us now to be able to have this programming specifically for our Black boys. So could you share with us, you know, being on campus now and working as a ninth grade biology teacher, mm-hmm. How have you seen some of our programming, specifically thinking about Black Boy Joy, impact our Black students at your campus?
I think first and foremost, it really improved like the brotherhood that is like within our school community. In the classroom, you can see it in sports, you can see it even across grade levels. So just to bring all of those, you know, boys together for one purpose, right? It was just like to just celebrate being Black, the joys of being a Black student, wanting to do better for themselves, or, you know, celebrate some of the wins that come from the situations that they live in, you know, in the city, and thinking about how Noble could be that, you know, that anchor for them, mm-hmm. and how they need to, you know, come together, support each other more, things that they can do within that environment to, you know, just make it easier on one another as they navigate high school and beyond. And even with those programs, it actually launched like our first Black Student Union mm-hmm. at Chicago Bulls College Prep. So, and we're continuously thinking like, what more can we build out of it? You know, maybe like a Black men's group or something like that, and just to continue from there. So it really lit a spark in a lot of different ways. But I really feel like it's the beginning of something that's gonna turn into something much bigger.
So. And Norm, I see that smile on your face. It's like, wow, like that's amazing, right? So thinking about the inception, when you got the recommendations and we talked about the experience and we did the work to arrive to Black Boy Joy event, how does it feel to sit back and hear George talk about how that has impacted his community and the work that he's going to continue to do with his young men at his campus?
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. I'm so grateful to hear and just be a part of that experience for our boys. I think while we were excited about bringing this program into campus, it was really just the beginning of what we wanted to be a part of, a culture to create within the campus. And we were there to support, but it was really, as George has described, something that then the campus takes on ownership, having someone like George on campus to be able to do that as someone who not only reflects the racial identity of the group of boys that we were supporting, but as a staff member there, it's an amazing experience to hear that things like that are happening on campus. And as he said, just the beginning of what's to come.
Yeah. So Jordan, I recall from our conversations over the summer, you shared that, you know, as a student at Noble and that's the campus that you were at, mm-hmm. there was times there where you just felt like you didn't have a space that you felt like you could be a Black boy. Did you feel like there was a space that you could listen to the music that you like to engage and socialize the way you would like to socialize? Mm-hmm. And so Norma helped organize and support the Black Boy Joy events. But the community that put those things together were on campus. Mm-hmm. And so Norma, from your point of view, do you feel like our campuses met the objective of creating spaces where they felt affirmed and connected on their campus?
Yeah, I would say definitely within the actual event, just seeing groups of boys come together and the joy that they experience in being a community, for many of them meeting each other for the first time, And I think even just that was a win for us and a win for that community. But then seeing other programming grow from that, that is led by the campus, which is where we see, I think, the most success. A program that will stay within the campus, that the campus will continue to grow for our boys.
Mm-hmm. And Joe, why was that important for you as a young man while you were at Bulls to have a space that you thought like, hey, I need a space to be me. And I feel like I'm coming in and having to compartmentalize a piece of me when I'm in this space. And so can you talk a little bit about your experience there and like why Black Boy Joy was impactful or could have been impactful for you as a student at Chicago Bulls?
Yeah, thinking back to my experience, I think just going through day-to-day high school and not really having, like, outside of my community, I guess, like at home or on my block in my neighborhood, I had those connections to my culture. But I spend majority of my time in school, right? I wake up early in the morning, I'm in school to late afternoon, and, you know, me being involved in sports, sometimes that could go into the evening. So to just spend the bulk of my day being disconnected from who I am at, you know, at heart, it was like very tough. And that's kind of what motivated me to join the group, right? Because that was one of the things that I wanted to emphasize that could be the biggest difference. That can connect young Black men or young Black boys to education just a little bit more if it's something that is more like home, right? It doesn't have to be something that they have to compartmentalize who they are, then try to be this new person for a majority of their day. And in the school, it was important for me to see that come to fruition just because I have those personal relationships with students where I may know what they go through, you know, individually, but they know they don't have to bottle it up or just have one staff who know their situation or one person to talk to. It's more like you got a whole group of, you know, young people who look just like you with the same experiences that want to express themselves in the same way. And I think that makes it easier to, you know, like accept some of those challenges that we face and then know that you have the supports to overcome them and continue going forward.
So we have our event that we had after Black Boy Joy was Black Excellence, a celebration of Black male educators. And so in our conversations, we identified that, you know, students who have Black boys, specifically who have a Black male educator, have greater educational outcomes. And so, Norm, we did this wonderful event. You organized this wonderful event. What was the purpose of it? What was the goal behind it, the Black male excellence celebration of Black male educators?
Yeah, it was a seed that was planted a couple of years ago to be able to bring our Black staff together and create a space where they can be a community, and specifically to celebrate our Black men. And I think twofold, the purpose, one, again, is to continue to build that community and have that space for our staff to come together to celebrate them. And two, we want and need our Black men to be here for our boys to be a reflection of who they are. And to do that, we have to ensure that we create spaces where they feel like they are welcome and belong and celebrated. And so we hope that that was the case at that event. And we want to continue to do so in different ways to ensure that we have our Black staff here. They are much needed and appreciated.
So George, when in our conversation that we had, and we talked through, all you talked about your experience at Bulls and how you had Black male educators who really influenced and supported you through Chicago Bulls and continue to support you even now when you were, well, when you were alum, working with Noble, but now at Bulls again as a teacher. Because you can talk to us about how like those individuals really impacted you and supported you at your time at Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, I think building those relationships were just really important, especially early on as I was just making that adjustment, you know, coming from an eighth grade student, now you're in high school and it's such high expectations. You really just need the support to go with it. And having, like my advisor was a Black male. My basketball coach freshman year was a Black male and he also was my gym teacher. So like having those type of staff who not only knew how to support you academically, but like emotionally and as a human and as a person, It made a big difference. And what really helped me a lot was how they took it a step further and was able to engage with my family and really locking in with my mom. Because it, at some points, I didn't even really want to stay at the school, right? But they just saw that bigger picture and was able to communicate to my mom, like, why it was beneficial that I stay, like, even when neither one of us understood it. So having those two, you know, they look like you, they sound like you. You know, they can just connect a little bit different than others can, and that was just really important for us. Mm-hmm.
And so, knowing when we think about taking a step back a little bit and thinking about George's experience and thinking about all the thousands of Black boys who've come through Noble and that we also serve currently in Chicago through Noble, why is this work that we do so important, and how is it impacting our Black boys and the experience that they have here at Noble?
Well, the hope is that it's impacting them positively. I think one of the reasons why we started this work is because we did know that the systems, the rules, the policies that we have negatively impacted our boys. And so Noble has made that shift. The shift is not enough. I think there's, again, programming and opportunities that we need to provide, not just to repair the harm that we have caused our boys, but also to be able to support them in their journey, to be able to have a more positive school experience for them. And so we have programming at campuses. Sometimes I think it doesn't serve certain groups or communities. And so we aim to do that with the programming that we have. We aim for it to stay at the campus as part of their culture, for them to grow from that. I think George's example is a perfect example of how that can be. And so we want to continue to grow the programming, not only for our Black boys, but for the other communities of students that we have not done right by.
And interesting enough is like the tell of two stories. And that's the story of the students who are able to, you know, who are currently at Noble or were Noble in the past, that they were able to make it through or thrive in that space. And there were some students who just did it. And unfortunately, in the past system, it will cost us to lose that student to be a part of our campus. And George, you shared with us a friend of yours, an advisor brother that you currently friends with, and how your experience is very different than his experience. If you don't mind, would you mind sharing a little bit about your story of your friend and how his experience was at Noble and how you continue to support him to this day?
Yeah, so we met first day in advisory, just starting off. Two young kids starting high school, excited. And he just had a very attracting personality in terms of just his humor. Just, you know, a good person, like a good dude, just a good dude. And, you know, school year started rolling. He just struggled a little bit more with the discipline side of it and, you know, getting detentions, you know, kicked out of class, different things like that than I did. But that never got in the way of the friendship or anything like that. And eventually that did lead to him transferring. We were fortunate enough to, you know, maintain our brotherhood. And we literally like brothers, you know, even though we not related, but I call him my brother. And, you know, time passed and I went out to college and he just got involved in different things. And I would say primarily because of the people that he met, you know, at the school that he transferred to, which ultimately led to him being incarcerated. And, like one of the things that he told me that just always stick with me is that he wished he would have stayed at Bulls. And that was just one of the real motivating things for me, having that connection to him and knowing like what Noble could be and also how it could deter certain students, right? If we don't make those changes that we need to make. And like going into the school building with that every day, I make sure that I lead with that type of mentality, right? Like, there are kids entering a building that may need someone like me who understand them and still would get them a second chance or a third chance or a fourth chance. And, you know, just stick it out with them because in Jarvis's situation, and he didn't mind me saying his name or anything, I spoke with him. It might have didn't click for him within 2 or 3 weeks of school or after a freshman connection or 1 year of high school, right? It may take 2 years, 3 years or whatever the case. So that's just something that I carry with me every day. And every time I talk to him about teaching, he's always like, man, I need to get back in there, or I might have a, just, you know, visit to him. Man, this is what I went through, whatever. Like, what would you do? Or what was your mind thinking when you would, you know, do these certain things? He like, man, I wish I could just get in there and talk to him or say this, or he might be going through this. So just to know that, you know, he got a lot of good in him and he do care. I just think, you know, maybe we didn't have him stick around long enough.
So Josh could have benefited from a Black Boy Joy event.
Exactly.
Benefited from having more male staff around him to support mm-hmm. him. And then we also have an event that Norm is supporting and planning this upcoming for our spring semester. It's at Black Boys Heal. So Norm, talk to us a little bit about that, because I feel like that's something that I'll benefit from, George will benefit from, mm-hmm. and if Jarvis was still with us in this space too, that he would also benefit from as well.
Yeah, so our upcoming event is Black Boys Heal, specifically focusing on mental health. And I think as we shift as an organization to really focus on SCL specifically, mm-hmm. while we are inviting our Black boys into this space, it is really a shift that we're making as a network to talk about social emotional learning, to talk about mental health, and specifically for this event, bringing it to our community of Black boys to continue to build that community, and then to be able to provide a space where they can be vulnerable, and also where we bring in partnering organizations to support in that journey. To George's point earlier, because it is not incumbent on one person or two, it is a group of us within our network and outside of our network coming together to support our communities. And so we are hopeful and excited about that opportunity, excited to have our boys in that space with their staff, with our Black males, to be able to talk about, you know, what is on their mind, and doing so in community to then continue the conversations after.
Norm and George, this is our part of our podcast called Getting Down to Practice, where we ask our guests to provide a strategy for district level, school level educators. Norma, could you go first, please?
Yes, I would, especially in light of the event that's coming up with Black Boys Heal. I would say ensuring that our students have access to mental health support, whether that is through the resources within the school, within the district, or outside of the district, ensuring that students and family have access.
And George, as an alum, as a current educator, what is one strategy that you could provide to our audience as well?
I think the most important thing for any teacher is just to build the relationship. And it sounds very simple, but it can take a lot of work. It's not as easy as people make it seem. You have to do a lot of homework. You have to put in a lot of effort. And you just have to care about each and every individual student and making sure that you get some type of relationship with them. Even if it's like the smallest thing, like you like the same candy or something like that, because it goes a long way.
George, Norma, thank you for joining Changing the Course today. But before you leave, we ask all of our guests to read our founding quote by Ms. Bettina Love.
To love all children, we must struggle together to create schools we are taught to believe are impossible.
Schools built on justice, love, joy, and anti-racism.
Norma and George, thank you for joining Changing the Course.
Thanks for having us.
What's going on, folks? Welcome to The Conversation After The Conversation. I'm here with George Beacham again, biology teacher at Chicago Bulls. We just wrapped up our conversation along with Norma Gutierrez, talking them through the Black College Experience Working Group and talking about our initiative that we have currently for our Black boys. So we wanted to talk a little bit more with George about his experience as an alum and his post-secondary experience. And so part of our, me and George's relationship is that we had the opportunity to work together during the Black College Experience Working Group. And so I was very much so able to hear George's full scope of his story. And one of the most powerful stories that he told was around his experience as a student at a PWI. And so wanted to provide space for George to share that experience and share how the program in that Noble at the time supported him or did not support him as an alum in a PWI. So George, go ahead and share that story with us.
So obviously coming from, you know, Chicago, heart of the city, being educated in the city, our culture is just like very strong from the style of dress, the music, you know, how we speak, all of those things. And one of the biggest shockers to me after Wolves Prep was going to Amherst College And I had no idea what like a PWI was, or had no idea what Amherst was gonna be like. And I didn't know like imposter syndrome was a thing, right, until after I got there. So just arriving there, I struggled a lot just to connect with people. Even the, you know, the black students that we did have on campus, because I just felt like I didn't really know where my culture or my identity really, you know, fit in. Like, we didn't have opportunities when I was in high school to really come together as a collective and explore how our individuality is important, you know, to our broader community. So that really just led to me just going day to day, like really just focusing in on the academics. Didn't really get into a lot of those organizations like a BSU or any of those things. But I did see how other students were able to enjoy those experiences. Or like, we had a AXU for like Afro-Caribbean students, and, you know, like La Casa, like all these different things. And now that I'm on the other side of, you know, Bulls Prep, I'm no longer a student and just being an educator. I think that's something that's gonna be very important to establish early on, like with our students and with those programs like a Black Boy Joy, right? They come together, they're in a room as individuals, but, you know, at the same time, you're part of the collective. And I think having those experiences early on is gonna allow them to have a smoother transition, or kind of know how to interact with others and still be themselves when they do make it to the next level in college and even beyond, you know, in the workplace and things like that. So that was like really important, you know, for me to witness and then just also be a part of for our students after knowing, you know, like the struggles that I had.
Absolutely. And so when thinking about your college experience, like, what were some things that you had to work on internally? You talk about your identity, lack of, right? What were some things that you had to do, or some learning you had to do, unlearning that you had to do in order to really see yourself as who you were?
Most importantly, I would say I had to learn that I was important, right? Which is, it's hard, because for me, I know back home, I'm me, right? Mm-hmm. Like, everybody is somewhat like me, or we share this, you know, these commonalities. In college, it doesn't feel that way. Right, because you might be the guy that, and it could be something simple as a clothing item. I might have on a pair of Jordans, everybody else got on Sperry's, right? Or they might want to wear Canada Goose, and I'm looking around like,
what is Canada?
Man, like, what is this? Like, yeah. What's going on? Or why does everybody have this certain backpack? Or so a big part of me was just like, you know what? You have to be strong enough to just still be yourself, right? Like, not conform to some of those things that are going to strip you of your identity and you know who you are, because that's important for us to bring our true selves into those spaces, like, and be authentic. So that was the first thing I had to learn. Now, on the opposite end, I think there were some things that, like, when it comes to like cultural competency, I didn't have that, right? I might have said certain things, or I might have did certain things that were okay, you know, like in a neighborhood, but you learn quickly, like, now you can't do that here, right? Or that's not right. Or, you know, like, you didn't think it was wrong previously because everybody did. So now you have that transition where now you got to learn how to do some of those things and really get to know people for who they are as well, like their differences, and be able to accept those things.
And so now you have Bulls and you teach in ninth grade biology, so you're getting out 14-year-old boys in your classrooms. And so how are you bringing that experience that you had as an alum, as a college graduate at this point, who said, like, when I left high school, I had an idea, but I really didn't know who I was. How does that come back now as a teacher in front of 14-year-old black boys now?
I think what it allows me to do is give them the why, right? So you can have a kid who, because they're kids, they don't mean any harm. This is just what they know, this is what they're used to. And they might say a certain thing, or they might do a certain thing. And obviously everyone tells them, don't do that or stop, right? But having that experience and knowing what it's like and being there before, I could tell them, don't say that, but here's why, right? Here's a personal story or a little anecdote of, I might have made the same mistake before I knew. You get what I'm saying? So I don't want you to experience that as well, right? Or this is what you may not know about the people that you're saying things about that you should know. And that'll get you to change your mind. You get what I'm saying? Because nobody told me those things.
Yeah.
You know, like, nobody told me.
I think one of the cool things you said in our pre-conversation is like, you know, I'm a biology teacher, but I'm also making effort to meet boys in my building that I don't teach, but I see, and I'm like, I need to get to know that young man. Like, what's the driving force behind that?
Almost, I would just say, like, the entire journey, right? Like, earlier, I shared the story about my friend who I consider a brother, knowing what I went through and just how important it is to meet those students where they're at, right? And not really judge them for the action, but just really see the opportunities where they can grow. So I take it beyond just my ninth graders, whether it's students I coach, whether it's just students I see in the hallway, and it's 9th through 12 for me, because it's just, it's important, right? And it's easier for me to make that connection to them because they already either heard about me, you know, from like other students, or it's just genuine energy, right? Like, my approach to them is totally different than probably what they would, you know, experience if they doing something wrong, right? I approach them with like real genuine love and care, like, what's going on? How you feel, right? And then lead that into a conversation or, you know, whatever the case may be, and see how I could support them. And I just think overall, you do that, you know, day after day, it just leads to change. Like, that's how you make the change. And one of the things that I feel is most important, right, is like, who are they running into after they see Mr. Beecham, right? If Mr. Beecham runs into this student on Thursday, can we get someone with a similar mentality or, you know, that's going to have a somewhat of a same approach on Friday when Mr. Beecham is absent? And I think and seeing the impact that has, like, I can literally see how students have changed, right? Just having that consistency and things like
saying
that.
Saying those relationships are important.
Yeah.
You said relationships are important, spending time, even if it's a small thing. Small and so thing. You walking into the hallway and seeing the black boy and say, hey, I don't know his name, but if I know about approach him, being authentic, being myself, not compartmentalizing. Even though I'm a teacher, I'll show up as George Beecham, and they see that when they come in. And so before we go, I would love to just leave you with this or ask you to share us with this. Like, what would be your hopes, your dreams, your aspiration for black boys coming through Noble, but also coming through George Beecham's ninth grade biology class?
First, I think just having a very, like, down-to-earth, like, authentic approach to how they learn, right? Like, bring yourself into the classroom, because that's probably the most important thing, especially in science, because you know the historical or traditional identity of what a scientist looks like. So I start there. And then just to know that beyond this classroom, you still have my support. And ideally, the goal is for those students to have such a great experience that they want to come back, you know, and be a Mr. Beecham, right? Or be their version of a Mr. Beecham for the next person. And after so long, I just see it being a school full of
little Beecham's,
right? Yeah, little Beecham's. And now, you know, like, all of the students have the support that they need. And it's just a continuum now of what's starting now. And it just grows out to develop and just leading to more overall success, changing the outcomes of some of our, you know, young black men, and having them not only just make it and go to college and, you know, be able to provide for their families and things, but give back to their community in a similar way, in a way that, you know, other young black men don't have to compromise themselves or be, like, shut out or, you know, like, they could just bring themselves to the learning environment.
Absolutely. Yep. George, thank you for sticking around for the conversation after the conversation, man. It's been real. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir. All right.
Changing the Course is a video podcast series produced by Noble Schools, a leading public charter school network in Chicago, Illinois. If you're interested in seeing the video for this episode or learning more about Noble, you can visit us at nobleschools.org. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Changing the Course is hosted by Nicholas Jones, Assistant Director of Student Support and Culture at Noble Schools. This episode was produced by Janelle Jones, Nicholas Jones, and Ash Kenyon, and it was edited by Ash Kenyon and Jasmine Stackhouse. The music you heard throughout this episode was created by Angel Mancia, one of our students at Mutian College Prep. It was mixed and edited by David Reddick, a music teacher at Mutian. If you have any questions you would like us to answer during this series, send us an email at communications@nobleschools.org with the subject line, Question for Changing the Course. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.